I'm just so thankful for everything that you've done, Lord Jesus. Past, present, and future is all covered because of your blood and what you were willing to do on our behalf. And I just thank you, Father God, that you are with us every step of the way. And thank you for the reminder that it's your peace that we need to walk in. We need to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, so that wherever we would walk, we would bring peace into people's circumstances, because that's what they need. Especially today, so many things happening in people's lives here, there and everywhere. And I just ask, Father, that you would have avenue to do that today, that your peace would touch different people's lives, that they might realise that you are the one that's in control, not the enemy who seeks to tell us otherwise. Okay. Well, when I prayed about what part of God's character to share about today, I felt God say to talk about light, that he is light. So I've called it going on a light journey, or going on a light walk. And I'm going to lightly walk through the Old and the New Testament to share some of that. So why is light important, do you think? Keeps the dark away. See where you're going. Anything else? Reveals everything that's in its, in the where the light is. Yep. Exposes things that are hidden. Okay, so I just wrote down, you can see where you're going, because that's pretty important. Me with my foot and everything that's happened with what I really should like to be able to see where I'm going, because I find it easy to trip over nothing. It's been my experience. It brightens or lightens where we are. It is a reflection. Light is the reflection of all colours, and it radiates into all places once it is there, except where it's blocked, but then it creates a shadow, so you know that it's there. Okay, so God has set a precedent after making the heavens and the earth. So we're just going to have a look at that. Let's turn to Genesis 1 and have a look. Starting at verse 1, we're just going to read the first five verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. So God, I'm going to read that sentence I started to read before again. God set a precedent after making the heavens and the earth. He then made light by separating it from the darkness. And as I was thinking about that, I realised that that precedent was he was creating two realms through that, a realm of light and a realm of darkness. And in here it just says we call them day and night, but in the Bible many times darkness is referred to the works of the enemy, the things of the night. But both are important parts of a day. You can't have a day, the daytime without the nighttime, because we all need a good sleep. I don't know about you, but I know I do, especially when I don't get much. I really remember how important sleep is, and how it enables me to make it through the day. Once he finished creating these new worlds, he said it was good. So that was pretty interesting, isn't it? The light was something that was good to have in the darkness. We recognise that. In the Old Testament, we see a lot of the way people walked out their lives, and God needed many times to bring them back to himself. The world he had created for humans. He had a people that he chose to show this way to the rest of the world, but they had, just like we still do, great difficulty in walking in the ways of God. Nothing much has changed amongst people. Have you noticed that? We're still doing that. Oh, well, I can only speak for myself. Sorry, I'm not saying you do that, but I know I certainly do lots of wrong things and have to talk to God about them quite regularly. Nothing much has changed amongst people. He sent messengers to show the importance of it, and we call them the prophets in the Old Testament. But many terrible things happened to them when they tried to tell people where they should be at with God. They didn't like to be told what to do. They liked to continue in their own ways. I don't know about you, but when someone tries to tell me to do something, it really gets our goat up. But, you know, when they're quite forceful and they're making me want to do something, kind of get something I don't want to do, I think I wouldn't like it. And I probably would have been one of those people being terrible to those prophets if I'd lived in that time. Because that's, you know, they were used to just doing their own thing. That's what the Old Testament is all about. People just went their own way, and God tried to intervene into that because it was a physical world in the Old Testament. In his messages, he revealed, although it was hidden or disguised, the coming of Christ. All through the Old Testament, you see Christ is mentioned, but not in a definite way. He just had it there, so, you know, if people wanted to know about it, the Christ was there. And I just thought it was interesting, and I know you've probably thought this yourself too, that both the New Testament, Old Testament starts in the beginning, and the chapter of John, which is one of the Gospels in the first part of the New Testament, both start within the beginning. But in the beginning, in the New Old Testament, it says God, and that's who the people of the Old Testament got to know, was God. But the people who have the New Testament get to know more than God. They get to know the whole of God. They get to know that Jesus, the Son of God, and they get to know the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And I just thought that was really interesting when I read it, had another look at that. Because finally, what he had disguised in the Old Testament was that Jesus' one and only Son finally came to shine that light in the darkness. So the world would have been a very dark place, really, to live in without knowing, first of all, God, and then not really understanding anything to do with Jesus. So he shone that light in the darkness so that man could see the way instead of stumbling in the darkness. At night time, when I've turned all the lights out, quite a few years ago, I taught a girl who was blind, and when I'd turn the lights out at night, I'd try to imagine what it'd be like for her, because it is pretty dark in my house once the lights are all out, and I haven't adjusted to it. And I've got this cabinet along the wall, and I have walked into it, because I've forgotten, you know, when I'm, you know, sometimes you're half awake when you wake up in the middle of the night. But I've learnt to stick my hand out, and then I know how far I'm going to walk, and touch when I get to the door to go out into where our bedrooms are. And I just think how interesting it is that that's what she would have been doing, reaching out, but, you know, not knowing what was there. And those people, without God, that's what it was like for their lives. They had no idea. They were stumbling around in the dark, trying to find their way forward. And it must have been a very difficult time for them, trying to negotiate their way forward. The New Testament begins with showing us many miraculous events happening because of Jesus. Jesus came and did many miraculous things. Once again, light was separated from darkness. But the darkness did not want the light to be present at all, so went on a mission to be rid of the light altogether. Little did darkness know that was all part of God's plan. That is darkness' chosen place. He was just an instrument in God's plan. During the light's time on earth, many experienced firsthand his healing and being set free from darkness. This added fuel to darkness's desire to completely be rid of light. As darkness set a plan in motion, he was blinded by his own darkness to what would really happen. He didn't really get that Jesus was actually going to win, that light would dispel that darkness. And I don't know about you, when you've been in the dark, in a dark room, and someone turns the light on, it's very bright, isn't it, initially? And, you know, for him, when Jesus did what he did on the cross and he rose from there, that must have been what he kind of experienced suddenly being the radiation of the light into his realm. He must have really hated that. Darkness seeks to blind those in its path. Light seeks to set them free from the darkness. Let's look at Ephesians 5, verse 8. So I, when I wrote that, it was kind of a bit like a parable. I felt God was giving me between light and dark and how, you know, in the beginning he created light out of the darkness. And that Jesus then, when Jesus came, became light. I am the light of the world, he actually said. To once again separate from the darkness so that people would have a way to be able to see their way forward. So Ephesians 5, verse 8. I'm not sure if I said it or not. I'm sure you'll know the scripture. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. So it's important that we were created to be the carrier of the light. Light is meant to dwell within us. We call him Jesus, but he's meant to dwell within us so that we can radiate his light, because we don't have any within ourselves. We're just full of darkness, really. We need that light ourselves so that we can then let that light out. And the less darkness in us, the more light can come out. And I know that God has done lots of things in my heart and mind to help me to be more a vessel of light than a vessel of darkness in my walk with him. And he clearly states that we are light in the Lord. It's not us, not anything of us, but everything of him. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Again, it'll be a verse you're familiar with. In 2 Peter, I'm wondering why it doesn't make sense. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvellous light. For once you, in verse 10, it goes on to say, for once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So God has enabled us to be a people of light, that he's able to expose that darkness as we allow his light into our heart and to walk in that way. For from the realm of darkness to the realm of light, that's how we've come. We've come from darkness' realm into the realm of light, Jesus' realm, to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. So I discovered God had taken me on my own journey through this thing, because when I first started thinking about light, I thought about, you know, light and dark and how it helps me to see the way. And certainly God does lead us in the way, but then over time, over the weeks, as I listened to the different things that he spoke about, God began to speak to me about light equals revelation. And the only way for us to know what's in our heart is to allow God to reveal it to us. And that's really important. If we want to be transformed, as it says in Romans 12:2, we need to allow that light to shine in our hearts. I know I've said this before, but our heart is like a home, a house, and it's got many rooms in it. Some have got locked keys on them. Have you noticed that? We've locked it away. Memories that maybe are too difficult for us to deal with right now, and I know that God is very faithful that at the right time he brings those things to the surface. But there's a time when it is time, and we need to be willing to take God's hand and allow him to open the door and let light into the darkness so that he can show us how we can negotiate our way forward so that that darkness is no longer there, that we can be free to be all he's created us to be. And that's where we need the revelation light brings. It's needed. It sheds the light on the darkness, enabling us true freedom to come to that part of our life. God wants us to walk in a manner worthy of his name. In Ephesians 4:1, it says that. And then in 2 Peter 1:3, it says, he granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So darkness still seeks to blind us to the truth that light brings. But Jesus said, I am, linking him with God, I am the light of the world. In John 8, verse 12, that says, am I willing to step into the light, into light out of darkness? So remember, you are a house and there are rooms that have been shut up and covered for a long time. So is there a room that God is maybe saying to you, I want to tap on that today? I want you to consider opening this part of your life so that I can come and set you free from what it's held you in bondage to. Are you willing to allow the door of to be opened to light so that the darkness is dispelled? God doesn't want us to stay living under the shadow of darkness either. Because that, you know, I said before, you know, a shadow's created when something stands in front of the light. It blocks it. So I've learnt this in teaching year three. And how that creates a shadow. And some of us, it's the shadow that we have to allow to be exposed. That thing needs to be removed so we can see things for really what they really are. And half the time, when the light shines into it, it doesn't seem, it's not as bad as we thought it was. It can be quite enlightening. And I think that that's the important thing that we remember, that God is here to set us free. We are people of light, so we need to allow that light to dispel darkness for us, so that we can truly be light bearers. And revelation only comes, true revelation only comes from the Holy Spirit, either through this wonderful thing I like to say, when God's speaking to me, I like to say, God, can you please put it in writing for me? And then he gives me a scripture and I go, oh yeah, that does say that. Or he might just put some thoughts into our head, or he might bring people, other people and circumstances across our pathway that he wants to speak to us through. I know I'm not the font of all knowledge. I need input from other people to help me to negotiate my way forward. And God is faithful to do that for me. I know when in my time in Youth with a Mission, God brought many amazing speakers that gave me opportunity, particularly to do with the Father Heart of God. Had a lovely man called Jack Winters who started kind of that whole movement off under God's direction, and had many times of being ministered in that area because I didn't really know what it was like to have a father, even though my father was there. He was a vacant emotional father because he was of the era that he was, and I didn't understand what that was like to even have a father. So God was very gracious to me in revealing that to me so that I could learn to know what that's like. That's still a journey for me, of course. You know, I think that's why we call it heaven, isn't it? We're always on a journey until we get to heaven. Then we all will be revealed. So it's really important that as we allow God to come into more of our heart or our lives, that we're willing, because as we do that, that enables us then to reach out to those around us. You know, God often brings us in contact with people who have like stories. And because we have hope through that, what's happened, we can give them that sense of hope as well, as we're willing to share. Let's just turn to Luke 2, verse 32. I thought this was a really interesting scripture, and I know I've read it many times, but I don't really remember it. So Luke 2, verse 32. I'm just going to go back to verse 27. And this is when Jesus is presented at the temple. So he was just a boy. And he came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, well, this is talking about Simeon. The man Simeon is the they're talking about, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you let your bondservant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." So I just thought that was really neat with what God was saying to me. Because I think someone might have shared that scripture, and it might be why. I can't remember where that scripture came from, but it just stood out to me that here he is saying that he's going to bring revelation to the Gentiles. And I'm not Jewish, so that makes me a Gentile. So that means revelation has come to me. And therefore, I have opportunity then to allow God to use me to bring revelation to other people. So because we're on this journey of wanting to make disciples, as we're called to do in Matthew, that this is an important thing, that we're willing to share our lives with people. And the more we let God work in our hearts, then the more we have to share of how God can transform us. Because no one can deny your testimony. And in scriptures it says that we overcome by the word of the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony in Revelation. And it's really important that we are sharing. And I don't find this particularly easy. I find it, in fact, extremely difficult because I'm a scaredy cat, I suppose. I can't think of the right word, but anyway, that's what's coming to mind. And I'd rather not confront people about anything. So this has been an amazing journey for me to learn to reach out to people. And because I work in a school, you know, the name of God isn't really allowed to be said. You can be anything else you like, but dare you mention the name of God? That's not okay. And so God has been faithful over the time that I've been there. I've had opportunity to pray for people, to speak, you know, words of life into people's lives. And he, as I seek to be bolder or brave, for me it's being brave to be bold, even this year I've had some pretty amazing things happen. And I've had a bit of a transformation with one of the people that I work with in that. When we got together, our little team, before, at the end of last year, before we started teaching, we had a little meeting, and I could see by one of the statements that one of the people who I'd never worked with before had already formed an opinion about me as to who they thought I was. And it really upset me at the time, and I was going to say something, but I just think God had his hand on me,
like this,
on my mouth, like this, saying, "Marjorie, be still." And much to my amazement, I've had opportunity to share some personal things with that person, to pray for that person on more than one occasion, and to speak into them when they've had difficulty. And now that person has classified me as one of her friends and has said that I have helped to make this time and the unit together the best part of the time. I mean, it kind of blew me away. I'm not saying that to puff myself up, because but I just couldn't believe that God did what he did. It was really God, and because I just waited patiently, which I'm not good at, for his timing on that, that he has done something. And I know she knows now that prayer works, because she had an injury. She was doing something, she had an injury, and I told her I'd pray, and she was able to do what she needed to do, and she was able to attribute that to the prayer. So I thought that was pretty neat, that God is at work in school where you're not allowed to mention God. I think he is a faithful God. So, what am I up to? Okay. So what I felt to do for communion today was I'm going to read a scripture related to light. I'll just pick one. Let's go to Romans 12, one of my favourite scriptures, this one, verse 2. Oh, actually, we'll start at verse 1 and maybe go to verse 3. But what I'd like us to do is I want us, for communion today, I want us to have a time of reflecting, to let God have time to speak to you if there's something he wants to reveal to you about something he wants to open the door of, so that his light can come into that part of your life, in that little room. It might be a cupboard, it might be under the bed, it might be wherever you might be, have hidden something, or you've even forgotten about something, and he might want to bring it. Now, I don't think this is meant to be a scary thing, because God is not scary. He's loving, he's kind, and he's full of peace. And that's what he'd want you to be experiencing in this process, even though it might be challenging for us to do. But as we take communion today, after we've had some time to reflect, to let him reveal something, that you could then have your take communion in your own time. Felt I wanted to give room for that. That's what God was saying. So it says in Romans 12, starting at verse 1, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, every person among you, not to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So this is a faith thing, I believe. When we allow God to touch us, to speak to us, is there something he would like me to let go of? That's what I think would be the question maybe for you to ask, so that the light might be able to shine on that. So why don't we come and get our emblems now, and you can take some time to consider that. The other night I was watching a program on TV where these older people are meeting with teenagers, and they had to do this activity where they had to create a mask of themselves, of what they were like on the inside. And I felt quite overcome as they were doing this. Just tears welled up in my eyes as different people were sharing the different things and how God, they'd been spoken to through the activity. And I felt God then speak to me. And I just wanted to share what God said to me, because I feel he wants to say this to you this morning. This is in the context of me, mask wearing, which is kind of what we're talking about. We mask, who we truly are for whatever reason. And he said to me, you are, and I want you to hear it as if he's saying it to you. You are always safe in me. I am a place you can stand free of all masks. As you allow me to help you take off each one, I am with you in it. Come to me with all that ladens you. Bear your soul and your true feelings and thoughts in my presence. If you do that honestly, you will see the truth of who you are and be set free to be it, without any need to fit in. Walk with me in this. I love you deeply and want you to experience the fullness of my love. It will give you all you need, the impetus to truly move forward. And Father, I just pray that you would just seal that in people's hearts, that they would know how much you love us, both together and individually. And I just thank you for this opportunity to allow understanding about you as light, how it can bring revelation that can lead to greater freedom in who we are, to be all you've created us to be. I just want to thank you for that, in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope God's spoken to you this morning. I know he's been speaking to me for some weeks about this and how important it is to have light that we can negotiate our way forward. If you would like further prayer, there's people around you or there's elders here who would be happy to pray with you as well. Yep. Thanks. Michael, can you get the bag? Because I don't think we've got one to collect the offering. Well, that's all right. I'd remembered earlier and then I forgot because I was speaking. Yeah, so before we go to have a cup of tea together, you're welcome to stay and join us for a cup of tea and a little something to eat. Sounds delicious. We'll take up our, those who are part of our church, you know, normally this is our offering time, so that's for you to give if you'd like to. Katie, would you like to go around? We also give a gold coin donation to help children in different places around the world. Thanks, Michael.